What's going on, bro? Good to see you all, Bridge family. Would you do me a favor and do the best you can? I know you're in your living room clapping your hands, or maybe you're in your car, but definitely, even if you're sitting there flipping the pancakes, would you just put that spatula down for a moment? I need you to have both hands together, and would you celebrate two of the most amazing pastors this side of heaven, Pastor Edwin and Pastor Ariel? Come on, clap your hands for them. We want to celebrate them. They are amazing leaders that we are so honored to have, two of the most amazing leaders this side of heaven. I know you have great pastors, but we are so honored, my wife and I, Ashley, to call them friend, to call them co-laborers, to call them people we can eat dinner with, to call them people who can babysit our kids. Come on here, y'all ain't saying nothing but amen in the chat, but we know them to be amazing, not only people of God, but just great friends and family to us. And so we are so grateful to be able to be with family today, and we celebrate them, but we also celebrate you, Bridge family. We are so grateful to be able to worship with you today. We do not take it lightly. We consider it an honor to be able to serve with you in this state, and we believe that God is doing something even in a time such as this, and we know we're in this together. So on the behalf of the Life Church, all the way on the south side of Richmond, we say we love you. We're so excited again to be sharing with you in the work of bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth here in the state of Virginia. And I am ecstatic about being able to be a part of what is happening here at the Bridge Church through this particular series. And I'm just going to jump right in because I am excited. I am excited because I know that you guys have been in the series on entanglements. Come on here. Y'all ain't said nothing. Y'all been talking about entanglements of worry, entanglements of shame, entanglements of sex. I want to just put this out there. I told Pastor Edwin he wrong for bringing me the week after you talk about sex. But it's been a series I've been able to watch, I've been able to listen, and I know that God has been depositing so much into the lives of so many as we all consider, as the words in Hebrews talk about, how to throw aside everything that so easily entangles us so that we can run the race that God has set before us. And I just believe that as we begin to talk about a little bit of running today, that God is going to continue to edify us and show us how to run that race. And I just want you to do me a favor, share with others this message today. I need you to share it in the comment section. Press that share button, because I believe that what we're going to talk about today is going to transform somebody's life. So take your cousin, text your neighbor, text your ex. Come on here. Y'all don't die. Just because they're your ex don't mean they can't get God today. And we want to make sure that we're letting the world know that God has something to say today. And I want to, before I jump into the scripture, just talk a little bit about entanglements and which entanglement I want to talk about today. You know, you guys have been talking about so many different things in our world and in our culture that we could be entangled in. But if you would allow me, I want to speak from a very personal place today, a particular aspect of entanglements that I myself can say over the last couple of years I found personal transformation in. And I want to encourage you, because I believe you will as well. And I was entangled with something. I don't want you to be too worried. Look, the pastor's probably looking right now like, what is he going to say? I was entangled with comparison. I was entangled with the workaholic syndrome. Come on, I know none of y'all are going to say amen in the chat. I was entangled with the idea of always running and racing. And ultimately, it manifested in my life as the bondage of busyness. What I found in my life is that I started to be so busy that I wasn't honoring the design and the direction that God had created for my life. Let's all be honest, right before we look at this scripture, we don't have to look far in our culture to see and discover that the default setting is busy. Even the very nature of the language that we use, even the commentary that we engage in conversation with has busy attached to it. We're always moving and always running and always filling our calendar. We're always securing the bag, or we mask it with language like, I am grinding 24/7. But what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about how this bondage of busyness ultimately pulls us out of or away from the actual design of God, and that ultimately it is an entanglement that we need to set aside so that we can run the race of life the way God has designed for us. Before I jump into this scripture, let me prove it to you. Did you know that the average American today sleeps 2 hours less than we did 50 years ago? I want you to think about that for a second. The average American today sleeps 2 hours less than we did 50 years ago. With more resources, with more technology, with Google Suites, with text messages, with the ability to work in all of these different aspects of efficiency, we've somehow found a way to rest less. Securing our bag, running, racing, rushing, grinding 24/7. But what if there was another way? Better question, what if there was a better way? I think scripture has something to say to us about this, and I want to take our attention to the book of Exodus chapter 31, verse 17. And I'm going to read a few passages of scripture, so I hope that you stick with me today. But I want to read the first one, the Exodus 31, 17. This is the contemporary English version, just so that we can ground our theology in this thought today. Here it is, says this in the contemporary English version. This day will always serve as a reminder both to me and to the Israelites that I made the heavens and earth in 6 days. Then on the seventh day, this is God talking, I rested and relaxed. This is God talking. God said, I worked hard for 6 days, created the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day, I rested and relaxed. Leviticus 23 verses 1 through 3, contemporary English version as well, says it like this. Then the Lord told Moses to say to the entire community of Israel, I have chosen certain times for you to come together and worship me. You have 6 days when you can do your work, but the seventh day of each week is holy because it belongs to me. No matter where you live, you must rest on the Sabbath and come together for worship. This law will never change. And I'm not here to get into the intricacies of your theology about which day your Sabbath should be, and maybe you work on Sundays, and maybe you got AAU, and maybe there's other things going on. I simply want to suggest today that maybe there's another way for us to live. Maybe the enemy has crept into the patterns of our life and subtly trapped us or ensnared us or entangled us into some habits and some routines and some patterns that are not in alignment with the design of God. And so for that reason, I want to preach today from this thought. I want to preach today from the sermon title, 24-6, Breaking Out of Busy. 24-6, Breaking Out of Busy. Looking at our culture, we see busyness all around us. But I believe that God is going to free some of us from the bondage of busyness today. Can I pray for us as we dive into this word? Would you bow? Lord, we pray now that they not hear my voice or see my face, but only hear and see the voice and face of you that lives in me. I decrease as you increase. Have your way in these moments that we might open our hearts and open our ears and open our eyes to see how you might want to show up in our lives. We believe that you're going to give us the strength and the foresight to be able to break away from anything that has ensnared or entangled us so that we might run the race that you have set before us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said together, amen. 24-6, breaking out of busy. As I begin to think about this, I want to just pause and slow down. I know we kind of started in fifth gear, but if we could, if anybody knows how to ride a stick shift, we're going to just kind of slow this thing down. I want to go in second gear for a moment. And I want to just tell you a quick story that kind of allowed this principle to take root in my life. It was Father's Day, very early in the time of us having two children. At the time, our children were about 18 months apart, so we had an infant, and then we had my daughter was around 2 years old. And as we begin to prepare for a journey, it was Father's Day, Pastor Edwin, and we begin to take this journey because I got an opportunity to preach in Charlotte, North Carolina. As we prepared for this opportunity to preach in North Carolina, my wife had a wonderful idea, and this was a great opportunity. I said, it's Father's Day weekend, babe, just come with me. We'll get a hotel. We'll stay for a couple extra days. This is going to be an amazing time. But my wife's amazing idea was this. She said, baby, on Father's Day, surely you don't want to go without the children. Surely you want the kids to go with us. And so she came up with the idea, let's take the kids with us on this road trip to Charlotte, North Carolina. Might I remind you, they were two and an infant, about 6 months years old. And so here we are loading up the car for their first road trip, because surely this is what I had in mind for Father's Day weekend. And so here we are on the road for the first time, and we get on the interstate, and I'm zooming. You know, I'm one of those people, come on, I know there's some people in the chat who can testify that are like me, that if the GPS tells me I'm going to get there at a certain time, I like to tell the GPS, just wait and see. I'm going to knock that down to about 15 minutes, by 20 minutes, by half hour, I am going to get there. And so here we are traveling, and we're on the interstate, and we're going as fast as I can possibly go within the bounds of the law, maybe. We'll talk about that in another sermon. But here I am trying to get there. And as we begin to travel, the infant gets irritated and starts crying. And all of a sudden, we need to take an exit because the two-year-old needed to use the bathroom. And so we stopped, and they start getting ready. And then we go back, get on the interstate. And then all of a sudden, the infant throws up. And so then we have to pull over to the side of the road. And then all of a sudden, we get back to rolling. And then the two-year-old is hungry and irritable. And are we there yet? And over and over again, we kept pulling over and stopping and taking the exit. And all of a sudden, I looked up in frustration, and I find myself an hour away from our location, but it's already been a five-hour trip. Now, if you know anything about getting to Charlotte, this should have been a four-hour drive, a four-and-a-half-hour drive, and I'm frustrated. I'm saying, man, look at the amount of time we've lost. We could have gotten there faster. But then one of my mentors talked to me on the phone. He said something that I'll never forget. He said, Vernon, is there a reward for getting there first? And is there a reward for getting there fast? Or is it better to get there with your family? And as I sat in that moment, in my own frustration, in my own selfishness, in my own reality, I started to recognize that I was so busy trying to get there fast, so busy trying to get there first, that I was willing to leave the family behind. And while that was just a road trip, I began to see that principle play out in other areas of my life, where I was so busy trying to get places first, so busy trying to get places fast, so busy rushing and running and racing that I wasn't resting, that I wasn't learning to be present. And what I found in my life, and I believe if some of us be honest, we may find it in yours, is that sometimes we're so busy trying to get there first that we don't get there whole. Sometimes we're so busy trying to get there fast that we don't get there fulfilled. It's in this reality that I believe God has laid out a design for our lives. A design that is intended to not only continue to produce fruit in our lives, but to continue to get us there in a healthy way. And maybe it's not a road trip for you. Maybe it's career path. Maybe you have been so busy rushing in your career. Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe you've been so busy rushing the relationship to a place that is not yet prepared to be at, and prematurely pushing things beyond a proper pace. Maybe it's some other aspect of the way you're living or the way you're existing. I just want to suggest to you today that there is no way to fully honor the design of God in the bondage of busyness. That as the scripture tells us, God creates a rhythm and a pattern for our lives that has Sabbath or rest attached to it. The word Sabbath would have been the commentary or the common language of the day. It literally means to cease and desist, and it should happen in the life of every believer, that we should take time to do what God did, to rest, to relax, to refresh, to recreate, that we should be in rhythm. That God never designed us for 24/7, but rather he designed us for 24/6. In order to fulfill this rhythm of life that God has designed for us, it requires that we break out of the bondage of being busy. That we cannot allow the cultural commentary of our day and the norms of our time to cause us to live outside of the rhythm and the design of God. And here's the big idea that I want you to write down today. If you're a note taker, I know everybody at Bridge is a note taker, so look, I want you to grab that notepad, that note section in your phone, and I want you to take this note down, because I think this lays the foundation for everything else we're gonna say from here. Here's what I want you to understand, that as we look at the design of God, are you ready? Watch this. Rest is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. I'm gonna say it again. Rest is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. That the design of God for our lives is that we would ensure that our lives are properly arranged and aligned to make sure that rest is essential to our ability, watch this, to remain out of the entanglement of busyness. But the enemy loves it when we're busy. The enemy loves it when we're rushing and running all the time. The enemy loves it when our calendar is full all the time. The enemy loves it when we allow comparison to construct all of our patterns and our habits and our lifestyles. He loves this entanglement. Why? Because it subtly creeps in and causes us to, watch this, run many times on empty. And then what happens in an empty life is we can mask it in our common culture with applause and celebration and affirmation and likes and shares. And then all of along we are running and rushing and racing, and we're empty in our hearts, and we're empty in our body, and we're empty in our peace, and we're empty in our family life, and we're empty in our marriage with our spouse. But as long as it's being masked, we can keep running. And the enemy loves it when he doesn't have to fight us. All he has to do is set the entanglement of busyness. You'll fill your calendar. You'll keep scrolling, and you'll keep pushing, and you'll keep doing at the expense of pausing to really be present with the Father, to be present with self, to be present with family, be present with friends. What are we losing in an improper pace and rhythm? It's in this reality that we start to ask ourselves, do we have rhythm, is the word we like to use in our home, a rhythm of life. And I think Jesus comes along and reinforces this message in the Gospels. In particular, there's one passage of Scripture that really transformed my life a couple years ago, and I believe that it will be something that can touch you in your heart and prayerfully expose us as a community to how we all can be aware of the rhythm of our lives. And it's found in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. It's the New Revised Standard Version, and it says it like this. This is Jesus talking, and I believe he's reinforcing the message of how our lives should have proper rhythm. Look at what Jesus says in John 15, verses 1 through 5. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Now abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Became acquainted with this language by a mentor who said, Vernon, how is your rhythm of life? And as he began to walk me through this passage of Scripture, he said, Vernon, I believe what Jesus is outlining here is a proper rhythm. Watch this. I want you to hear this. That Jesus is not saying he doesn't want you to be fruitful. He's saying your fruitfulness should not cost you your faithfulness. Okay, I'm gonna say it again. He's saying your fruitfulness in career should not cost you your faithfulness in family. Your fruitfulness in success should not cost you your faithfulness in devotion. Your fruitfulness and opportunity shouldn't become opposition to your ability to remain in my presence. That there is fruitfulness that the Father designs and wants for each and every one of us, but not at the expense of abiding. And so he showed it to me like this, like a pendulum swinging. I want you to imagine a pendulum is always swinging in rhythm. And on this side is fruitfulness. But then on this side is abiding. So he says, those who abide in me will bear much fruit. But then at some point, he prunes that which bears fruit. It says he prunes, which means if you know anything about gardening, he cuts away. He removes. He limits. He lessens. Not so that he can harm, but so that he can help. Not so that he can cause defeat, but so that he can do what is necessary to produce even more victory. So there's fruitfulness, and it swings in some seasons to abiding. There's success, but then it should swing to rest. There's opportunity, but then at some point it should swing to knowing that I can lessen my load. Can I suggest to you today that the key to future fruitfulness, the key to doing all that God has for you, the key to maximizing your potential is not working harder, but maybe what God might do in the next season is take some things away. Maybe he will lessen the load. Maybe he will show you more focus. Maybe he will give you more clarity. Maybe you could do more by doing less. And maybe, just maybe, that the secret to the fruitfulness and the favor of God is not found in us running harder, but as learning how to run in rhythm. This is the challenge of the bondage of busy, and we all have to ask ourselves, am I living in rhythm? That the pendulum swings. In every season, something changes. I would even go as far to suggest for some of us, and while we do not like the circumstances that have preceded this season, while we make no mistake about it, we know the pandemic has impacted people's lives greatly. Could I suggest that some of us have had the opportunity in this season to be properly pruned in the private places so that we can fully walk into the potential of fruitfulness and the power of fruitfulness that God has for us to come? That maybe there was something happening in a slower pace. Rhythm of life. Have you ever seen somebody who was outside of rhythm? I mean, let's just take a moment. I don't know about you guys, but I've seen it. I always manifest at a wedding reception. You ever been at a wedding reception? And something about wedding reception empowers everybody to be a dancer. Come on here. This is what I love about wedding receptions. Everybody is welcome to the dance floor. Your uncle, your auntie, grandma, me, cousins. It don't matter who they are. Everybody is welcome to the dance floor at a wedding reception. Have you ever been at a wedding reception or some other event, and all of a sudden somebody with no rhythm gets up and starts moving? And they're moving. And have you ever watched somebody dance with no rhythm? It is a sight to see, a moment to behold. And as people chuckle and as people laugh and we say, oh, we look and we say, look at how they operate. Look at how they move. Look at their life out of rhythm. May I suggest to you, we look at people who dance out of rhythm weird, but why don't we look at people who live out of rhythm a different way? What if when our neighbors looked at us and our friends looked at us and our family looked at us, they said, how are y'all so healthy? And why is it that your kids are so grounded? And why is it that you and your spouse are on one accord? And how is it that you have peace that surpasses all understanding? And how is it that you have joy this world can't take away? And you say, I'm just in rhythm. And because I'm in rhythm, because I'm not just forcing fruitfulness, but I'm also swinging into abiding. Because I'm not just seeking success, but I'm also pushing rest. I'm in rhythm. And as I'm in rhythm, God can do something in my life. God can see something in my life. God can show me some things about my life
in rhythm.
So with this in mind, and I want to challenge you to think about three things about how you can break the bondage of busyness. How do we break the bondage of busyness? Three things. First thing we have to understand is the power of pace. The power of pace. Jesus is helping us to understand that in every season, we're not intended to run at the same pace. It is important that we understand how to pace ourselves. You know, our youth pastor was a professional runner. He broke records in the state. He went on to be on full scholarship to run at Virginia Commonwealth University. He is still an amazing runner, so much so none of the staff will run with him. We are afraid to run with him, but he is a professional runner. And as we begin to talk to him about running one time, he began to share with me the idea and the importance of pace. Pastor Edwin, he began to help me to understand that people who run fast and then jerk and run slow and then give up and then slouch over, he said the problem with all of that is that it shocks your heart. And ultimately, your heart needs a good pace in order for you to endure the race that you are running. He said, so the importance of pace is it keeps your heart in a posture when it can endure. The importance of pace is it keeps your heart in a place where it can take on what is coming next. It puts your heart in a place that even when it gets difficult, even when the terrain changes, even when you got to go uphill, even when you got to go through the rocks, even when you got to go through the wilderness, even when you got to go through a season like a pandemic, maybe in your life, the reason why the enemy has constantly worn you out and burned you out is because he understood if he could ever get you to run out of pace, that he could wear you out. And watch this. The enemy knows he can't put his hands on your destiny. So he doesn't go after your destiny. He goes after your pace. Because I can't prevent what you're going to. But if I can burn you out, I can prevent you from getting there. It's the power of pace that we got to be after. If you know anybody who really runs, they're not trying to beat you in the first minute. They're not trying to beat you in the first mile. They understand pace. And as we all start to look at our lives, I think we need to understand that there's some things that might be pulling us away of pace. Maybe it's some opinions around you that are pulling you out of the proper pace. Okay, this one's going to be tough. I might not get invited back. I love y'all, Bridge. If this is my last time talking to y'all, I pray I see y'all again. Here it is. Maybe your social media timeline keeps pulling you out of pace. Maybe every time you scroll, you get trapped in the conversation of comparison. And so now you want to run to keep up with somebody who you think you want their life and they ain't even happy. You think you want their relationship and they don't even talk to each other. You think you want their job. You think you want to be an entrepreneur and you don't know half the work it takes to do it. And now you're running out of pace. And you're wondering, why is it that I don't have the power to endure? Why is it that my heart feels weary? Why is it that I'm burning out? Why is it that I'm weary? Because the enemy crept in with the seed of busyness through comparison and through pace challenges. And he started making you run faster than you needed to. I love what Proverbs 23, verse 4 through 5 says. Here's what the Good News Translation says. Be wise enough not to wear yourself out trying to get rich. Your money can be gone in a flash as if it had grown wings and flown away like an eagle. I love the language. Be wise enough not to wear yourself out trying to get rich. Now, I know that word says rich there and this particular passage in reflection to the pursuit of success or money or wealth. But I think we can substitute rich there for a lot of things, not of things. Be mindful, be wise enough not to wear yourself out trying to please people. Be wise enough not to wear yourself out trying to accomplish things that are not in God's alignment for your life. Be wise enough not to wear yourself out in comparison. Be wise enough not to wear yourself out. It's the power of pace. Here's the second thing, though. Second thing is this, though. We also have to understand to break the bondage of busyness, we have to understand the power of priorities. The power of priorities. I love what Craig Rochelle says. He says, if everything is important, then nothing is. I'll say it again. He said, if everything is important, guess what? nothing is. We have to get back to this idea that I have to have some priorities in my life. And here's why many of us struggle with abiding. Here it is. Watch this. Because in order for us to abide, we cannot abide without the intention of affection. And wherever our affection is creates our attachments. Here it is. And so most of us spend more time abiding somewhere that now has our affection and ultimately has our attachment, but is not with the Father. He says, he who abides in me will bear much fruit. Okay, so here it is. So some of us are more fruitful on social media, or more fruitful in these friendships over here that may not be healthy for us, or more fruitful in this particular vocation than we are with understanding the voice and vision of God for our lives, than we are in our marriage, than we are in our parenting, than we are in our health and wellness. Here it is. Why? Because we've spent more time abiding on our timeline, more time abiding with our coworkers, more time abiding in this particular endeavor. And I'm not saying, I want to be abundantly clear today, I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to be fruitful, and I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to show how the kingdom can succeed in the workplace and in the secular environment. I believe that God has his hand on entrepreneurship. God has his hand on your future. God has his hand on your dreams. I believe that everything you believe that God is doing in your life, I proclaim today that it shall come to pass. Here's the only thing I want you to see in the passage. It should not come to pass at the expense of abiding in the Father. Because where you abide ultimately is a reflection of your affection. And wherever your affection lies, your attachments lie. In order to do this well, we have to understand the power of priorities. If you're saying, I'm watching this in Vernon, I want my affections to grow for the Father. I want my abiding to grow. I want to be more attached to the will of the Father than ever before. Then I want to suggest to you this, then you have to schedule your priorities. This happened in my life personally. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. I was one of those people who, I'm competitive. I know y'all are looking at me and y'all saying, Vernon, you short. Maybe the camera made me look tall today, but I was a baller. Look at me. Pastor Edwin's still scared to play me. I'm a baller, okay? I play ball. And one of the things about it is that when you hoop and when you're competitive, you know, you find yourself in these situations where you're always kind of trying to outdo and overcome, especially if you talk trash to me. Like, oh, that's all I need. I just need one comment. I'm good. Like The Last Dance, like Jordan. I just need one thing to get me going. Well, here's the thing about it. In a lot of our lives, we find ourselves constantly doing and misprioritizing. And what I found in my life is, I was so busy taking that competitive energy and competitive commentary and competitive edge, trying to beat everybody at everything. So eventually I stopped playing basketball, but I just took that same energy and I took that same effort and I put it into church planting and I put it into building God's church. And there's nothing wrong with building God's church, but can I be honest with you? I got to a point where I got burned out. And I looked around and I started recognizing that I was building the church more than I was building my family. Started looking around in my life and recognized I started being more faithful to certain friendships than I was to date night. Just talking about me. I found myself being competitive in certain entrepreneurial endeavors, but not in my devotional endeavors. And I looked up one day, and the life that I had a schedule full of abiding with everything but my key responsibilities. And what God had to do with me is open my eyes and open my heart to maybe there's some places and spaces in my life where I have missed the mark. Because the enemy stopped fighting me a long time ago. He won the battle with busyness. I know you might not have heard that in a while. Hear me again. I know we talk about the victories of the kingdom. I want you to hear me. In a certain season of my life, the enemy had beat me in battle. Not because he was waking up every day, showing up at my bedside, but because he had won the battle of making me busy. And the other day, I was traveling with my wife to a wedding. It was about a 2-hour drive. And some opportunities came across my phone, beginning to dialogue with her about, babe, you know, do you want me to take this or should I take this? She says something that I will never forget. Because after that moment a couple years ago, I began to change my life and I began to schedule my priorities. Now the first thing I do in the morning is I read scripture and I pray. Why? Because that is my priority. And then I'm helping take my kids to school and make sure they get breakfast. Why? Because they are my priority. And then one of the things we do in our home is that 4 days a week we eat dinner sitting at the table with no phones at the table. Why? Because I want them to know that you never have to compete for my attention. You are my priority. And as I begin to incorporate these priorities in my schedule, do you know what my wife said to me a couple weeks ago? We were on this road trip. She said to me, she said, babe, you can do that. And I said, well, thank you so much, babe. I said, you know, I just want to make sure that you don't feel like I'm putting this before you or us. And she said, I haven't felt that way in a long time. And can I tell you something, Bridge? That was more important than any sermon I've ever preached. That was more important than any amount of money I've ever gotten in a check. It was more important than any amount of accomplishment or accolade. Knowing that I was in the right rhythms meant the world. The power, priorities. I want you to see this, and then I'm moving to this last point, and I'm done. The power of priorities. There's a book called Essentialism by Craig McCowan, and he says this. He says that, it's a long quote, but he says this, that up until the 1400s, the word priority was singular. It meant only the very first thing. And it stayed singular for the next 500 years. Only in the 1900s did we pluralize the term and start talking about priorities. Love this part. Don't miss this. Only once you give yourself permission to stop trying to do it all, to stop saying yes to everyone, can you make your highest contribution towards the things that really matter to you. You don't need it from me, but can I just tell you today, I want to give you permission to overcome the bondage of busyness by saying, I'm going to start looking at my life, I'm going to start looking at my calendar, I'm going to start looking at my schedule, and I'm going to make sure I understand the power of priorities. First thing I'm going to do is spend time with God, spend time with family. I'm never going to allow comparison, competition, opinion, opportunity to get in the way of abiding, rest, growing, so that God can produce more fruitfulness in His timing for me. Here's the last thing, though. Not only do we need the power of priorities, not only do we need the power of pace to overcome the bondage of busyness, but the last thing we need is the power of pruning. The power of pruning. You know, it's interesting. We love to talk about God's promises, but rarely do we talk about God's pruning. But yet Jesus tells us that the secret to fruitfulness, I mean, we spend all of our lives like, I just want to be fruitful. I want to see God's favor on my life. I want to see God's promises. And Jesus says, here's the key. Here's the secret. Those who are fruitful, the Father prunes. He removes. He cuts away. He takes away. He gives less for a season. Not for the harm, but to help you continue to grow. Could there be a power on the inside of you and a power ready to come through you and out of you that you have not yet tapped into because you're so busy stapling fruit onto the tree that God says, no, let that season fall so that I can do something in you in the private place, so that I can do something in you in the prune place, so that I can do something in you in this rest place. And then out of rest will come a fruitfulness and a power and a potential that you would never even be able to produce on your own power. We must embrace the power of pruning. I want to tell you this quick testimony and then I'm going to be done. For those who don't know me personally, I'm a former cancer patient. Had 2 tumors, 13 surgeries, 3 years of chemotherapy. They told me I would die 3 times. I'm standing here before you today because this gospel that we're preaching about, this word that we're standing on, these songs that we're singing, and the God that we're worshiping is real and is still working even today. And I'm a living witness that he does something in our lives that we can't even do for ourselves. But I want you to know this today. I remember when I was getting my first surgery, Pastor Ariel, I remember I was walking through this moment, and I began asking them, there's a tumor in my thigh and there's a tumor in my knee. Why do you have to cut so much? Why do you have to remove all of this? Why do you have to do this? And they said, here's what we need to understand. And they said it in so much medical language and commentary, I can't repeat it all, but the short and sweet of it was, they said, Vernon, there are some things that we have to cut away. There's some things that we have to remove that are not the directly affected area. But if we don't remove this, it's only going to reinfect that. If we don't remove this, then it's going to be a problematic thing for that. If we don't cut that, it's going to create chaos for this. If we don't remove that, then it's going to wreak havoc on this. And they begin to explain to us all the different areas in which they had to remove and cut and take away so that they could create a healthier future for me. And as I stand before you today, I want you to know this, that the health of that moment is dependent upon the ability to open my heart to allowing them to prune where necessary so that I could be standing on the promises of God today. Where in your life may God be preparing you for pruning? Where in your life may God be ready to free you from the bondage of busyness? Where in your life have you been running 24/7 and God is saying, no, I want to rearrange your priorities. I want to rearrange your pace so that you can live in my design of 24/6. Where are the places, where are the people, where are the practices that he's ready to prune? I know it's not easy. I know it's not popular. I know it's not even always ideal. But it's always for the promise that God has for you of fruitfulness, favor, and a future so that we can run the race that God has set before us. So would you do me a favor? I don't know where you're at right now, but would you just take a few moments? And I want you to just bow your heads and open your heart to allowing God to respond to that question. Let's just open our hearts for a few moments and ask, where is God ready to prune me in some places? Where is God ready to do something new in my life? Maybe new starts with less. Maybe success starts with rest. Maybe where I want to reach starts with some removal. You just close your eyes, open your heart. I just want to pray for every single person now who first and foremost may be ready to allow God to do the pruning. And then I'm going to say a prayer for those who might be saying, Vernon, the first step for me is to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I recognize through this that the first step for me in following the design of God is to truly give my life to Christ. I want to invite you now into the greatest relationship you could ever have, a relationship with Jesus. And I promise you this, God doesn't care about what you did last year, last month, last week, last night. Right now, he loves you. He gave his only son to die for you because he desperately wants to be in relationship with you and show you the beauty of a life in the Father. So I just want to pray for you now. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for each and every one of us who, in these moments, are opening our ears and our heart to the possibilities of how you might want to free us from the bondage of busyness. And God, we ask now that you would begin to do a work in us that moves us into the promise, potential, and the power of pace, priorities, and pruning. May we surround ourselves with supporters, and may we constantly seek your voice and will for how to live out your design for our lives. And God, maybe there's one who needs to receive you as their Savior today to begin that journey. We are excited that they're making a decision today to be a part of the kingdom. So whoever you are, wherever you are, I just want you to repeat these words after me. We say, Lord Jesus, give you my heart, give you my life. thank you for your sacrifice. And I receive you as my Savior and as my King. And from this day forward, I am yours and never the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.